Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your host, Angela Pugh. Thank you for spending some time with me today and listening to the pod. I appreciate you guys. So today on the show, we have Austin Cooper with Sober Evolution. We are recording in Tampa. You guys know I went to Tampa a while back and recorded a bunch of episodes, and this is one of them. Henry is snoozing away on the couch at the Airbnb, and we love that, so he's not driving me crazy. So let's welcome Austin to the show. Austin, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's
absolutely
an honor.
So tell the listeners a little bit about you and what you do.
Sure. My name's Austin, living in Tampa. I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio, just moved down here a couple years ago. I've always kind of been an entrepreneur, and that's kind of what brought me down here, is just to find what I wanted to do. I started Sober Evolution a few years ago, and I started that on Instagram, not really with any clear path in mind, but I just wanted to share some hope and inspiration, and it kind of grew and grew and grew, and I've been able to do some sober coaching and mentoring and writing and blogging and, you know, really meeting these really amazing people. Occasionally, I set up these really fun sober events, but full-time, I'm a logistics broker, which kind of fits in with my entrepreneurial, if that's even a word.
Entrepreneurial spirit.
Entrepreneurial spirit. Very hard word to say. So that's what I do full time.
When you say you started Sober Evolution, what does Sober Evolution entail exactly? Is that like your coaching and mentoring, things like that? Because I know you were doing t-shirts at one point as well. Like, what all is a part of Sober Evolution?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I started it really just from the name Sober Evolution. I kind of thought of my own sobriety. I got sober back in 2013, and it's really been a life-building process. And it's almost like an evolutionary trail, if you will, or at least that's the way I've seen it.
Absolutely.
You know, really going from my, I guess you can call it rock bottom, to figuring out how to live, figuring out how to enjoy life and, you know, make a living and, start new projects. And so it just made sense for me to do that and try to convey some of the same things that I learned along my way to the outside world. And, you know, I was really big into reading personal development books. That's one of the biggest stepping stones I think I had in my sobriety, was focusing solely on my personal development and taking, you know, time out of my day to really try to build my mentality and, you know, my emotional strength. And so these books really taught me so much. And I wanted to share some of the pieces from what I was reading and what I was learning, and literally just create these quotes or these pictures and turn my Instagram into a blog and tell my story and how that quote or, you know, how this piece of wisdom fits into my life, how it really changed my perception and, you know, the way I look at life and struggles and overcoming those struggles. So, yeah, that's exactly what Sober Evolution is. I mean, you know, I started, I think it was early spring of 2016, right after starting Sober Evolution. I thought it was the coolest thing when I saw these other Instagram accounts that had t-shirts. And I remember ordering some, and I loved wearing it loud and proud.
Yeah.
I mean, at first it was a little awkward and everything, but, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm done, you know, worrying about what other people think about me, especially my recovery. I'm done with it. It doesn't affect my life. It's not going to affect my life 10 years down the road if someone thinks differently of me because I'm in recovery from addiction. And so I might as well wear it loud and proud. And so, you know, I would strut around with these shirts saying sober right on the front of it. And I just thought that was the neatest thing. And it was a total mind shift. And, you know, my confidence grew because of that.
Yeah.
And so I thought, why not, you know, be able to do that for other people? And so I created my own little shirts and I started, you know, giving them away and, you know, selling them and, you know, trying to figure out how to start a business that way.
Right.
And really, I just ended up giving them all away. And I love seeing people from all over the world really wear my shirts. I think someone ordered some out in Australia and, you know, Canada and England, all these other places. I just think it's the neatest thing in the world.
Isn't that crazy to think about your reach being that far? Like, I get this thing for my podcast. Well, there's all these different statistics and things that you can look at, right, to see what's going on. And I can't see like how many subscribers I have, but I can see like how many downloads each episode, stuff like that. And they give you like your ranking in the charts, you know. And my podcast is quite popular in Iceland.
Wow. Who would have thought? That's amazing.
It's just so funny. Like every week I get this weekly update and my ranking in Iceland is always climbing.
That is so cool.
But isn't that nuts to think of? I don't even know where Iceland is, but just to think of somebody in Iceland like listening to my podcast, you know, like it's crazy. It's crazy that you can reach people like that.
I know. And that's what I love about social media and, you know, having the internet and these means of reaching people. I mean, it really makes our lives and our experiences so much more impactful. And,
yeah,
you know, really being able to make a difference. I mean, I think that's awesome that it's in Iceland.
I think it also, for me, it also increases my sense of responsibility, right? Like I feel like I have a certain responsibility in that vulnerability that we share. Like I'm an open book, I'm transparent about everything. And I think it's so important because those stories of recovery and sobriety are not very many people have struggles that literally are kind of life and death, you know? And even people that have other illness, right? Like there still is a difference in the core of addiction as an illness and just how it sort of attacks you. And in a certain sense, I'm kind of always under siege, you know, because my wiring is a little bit different and it creates a different personality, you know? And for me, I think it's so important to always share those stories and always share my experience, and especially coming from a place of empowerment, because my sobriety, to me, being an alcoholic is the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Me too.
And my recovery is the strongest, most amazing thing I have ever accomplished. So like when you were talking about wearing a shirt and being proud and saying sober on your shirt, I was like, well, hell yes.
Yeah.
Yes, of course I would do that, you know. Of course I would do that, because to me all that says, that's telling other people the level of strength I have, right, and what I can overcome, certainly when I'm in my personal development and working on myself on a regular basis. Like it's the greatest thing ever.
I agree. And it shines so brightly, too. I remember hearing someone saying that they were wearing one of my shirts and someone walked by them and ended up asking them, you know, why are you wearing that shirt or what is it? And they ended up asking for help because they were dealing with something themselves. And so, you know, someone receiving help because they saw someone being proud about who they are is incredible. And you know, on my Instagram, and I'm sure you get this too. I mean, people are reaching out to us, you know, through social media because they come across a post. Maybe they saw it on a hashtag or something random. Someone tagged them in it.
Right.
And it's just incredible that they can go from really struggling in life to seeing something positive that inspires them to reach out and start their own journey of recovery.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And to be proud of it. You know, I feel like now it's more popular now to be proud of it. I've been sober a long time. Like the first many years of my sobriety, nobody was feeling proud of it. And I always thought it was so strange because I've always felt so proud of it. You know, I always just thought this is like the greatest journey. This is probably how somebody feels when they climb Everest. Like this is huge. It's not simple. You know, like I have to make the decision every day to continue doing it. I have to make the decision every day to continue to care for myself properly so that I can stay sober and happy and comfortable. You know, it's just cool.
I agree. And it, you know, what's amazing is when I was in Ohio, that's where I got sober. It was not a very common thing to be proud about sobriety.
Right.
But, you know, I at the time I was going to meetings and found this really cool, fun meeting, young person's meeting. And it was just so enjoyable. And that's when I started, you know, also looking at Instagram and social media and seeing these other groups. And seeing these people be proud and have fun and be open about it, you know, and come to find out they're all like out in California or Florida where, you know, they're kind of the meccas
of treatment meccas.
Exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, had already started my Instagram by that point of being loud and proud, not really caring what anybody in Ohio thought. And, you know, hearing stories from people who lived in especially some of the smaller towns about that, literally their families will get shunned if anyone is seen going to an AA meeting.
How weird is that?
It's crazy. And so that's why I think that's such a part that is feeding into addiction and keeping people from seeking help, is because there still are these uneducated people that, you know, are trying to shame people for getting help.
Right.
And being open, you know, admitting to themselves that they have a problem.
Yeah.
It's such a shame. But, you know, now they can go to the internet and really, you know, connect with people.
And be a part of a community and have that same fellowship that, you know, we get to have in person and meetings and different pathways, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, inspired them to maybe start their own community and stop caring, you know, bringing other people in to not care about what other people think and having their own fun and living their own lives. And, you know, I think that's what's going to make the difference, is people just, you know, putting their foot down
right.
and realizing exactly what you said, like, you know, being an alcoholic or an addict, it happened. And really, when I look back at it, it's one of the greatest things that ever happened to me.
Without a doubt.
And exactly like you said it, my recovery has strengthened, you know, me beyond belief, beyond, you know, even if I was, you know, quote unquote, a normie.
Yeah. There's nothing normal about those people.
Right. But, you know, even if I was able to just drink normally, you know, what's great about recovery is I've got 24/7, 365 of a clear mind. And, you know, due to recovery, learned how to focus on myself and personal development. And so I've built my life, you know, above and beyond because of my recovery. It never would have happened any other way. So that makes me proud.
Right there. And that's why I say, like, alcoholism for me was my catalyst, right? It was just the catalyst that made me really pay attention and realize how much work I had to do. But also, the recovery part is what gave me the fuel to continue doing it every day and to stay in that journey and to have that sense of accomplishment and feel good about myself and become a person I'm proud of. Like, I never knew, if you would have asked me, even like at the end of my drinking, if you would have asked me if I could do the things that I have accomplished now, never in a million years would I have thought it was even possible.
Right.
Never. And if I wasn't in recovery, if I didn't go to all those meetings and work with my sponsor and do all of that stuff, I just had no idea what I was capable of. I had no idea.
Yeah. In every day almost, you know, we find new things out and it's just mind blowing every time, you know, new accomplishments we reach and, you know, new people we meet, which opens up new doors. And it's mind blowing how much we're just constantly growing.
It's awesome.
And it never stops.
It's awesome. Okay. So tell me about your journey of recovery. So you went to AA. Do you still go to AA?
I haven't been to an AA meeting in a few years.
Okay.
I went so many times in my early recovery, and it was great. I mean, really, like I mentioned, there was that really enjoyable meeting where people were having fun, having a good time. We'd go and play volleyball afterwards. It was incredible. And, you know, I think the sense of community for me is exactly what I needed.
Right.
I needed to be shown that I'm not alone, that, you know, people have accomplished years and years and decades of, you know, recovery. It was just awesome for me. And so I did the whole 90 meetings in 90 days, just like I learned when I was in treatment. So the beginning of my story started in treatment, where they brought in AA groups and brought in other groups as well. You know, NA, they had CA, all sorts of groups. And, you know, they even brought in, I think they,
you guys have
in
a
coaches.
Lot more A's down here in Florida than we have in Kansas City.
Yeah.
We don't have, California is the same way. Like, I go to California and I hear some of the meetings they have. I'm like, really?
Oh yeah.
I didn't even know that was one of them, you know?
Right. It's mind blowing how many anonymous groups there
There's
are
a
for
ton.
Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, you know, and I've always thought about this since getting sober, you know, a lot of people have an addiction to something.
Mm-hmm.
It can be shopping, it can be spending, it can be food, you know, porn, everything. And so, you know, meetings, they need
They've
to be
got
there.
Yeah, yeah. They've got them all. That's something we talk about a lot too, are those secondary addictions, right? Like, and not that there's ever only one, but as a person who is an addict, right? Like, I can be addicted to anything. If I do something and I like it, I naturally want to do more of it.
Right.
No matter what it is. It's just my wiring, you know? And it's been interesting throughout the process of my recovery, seeing how that compulsion will crop up in other areas of my life and just really having to be mindful of how I'm doing things and am I getting out of balance? Am I getting unhealthy? Because I really can do it with almost anything. Food, for sure. I've been super open about my struggles with food addiction. I have to be careful about shopping, not necessarily spending, but just going shopping is very much an escape for me.
Wow.
It's an escape from reality, right? I can go and just wander and shop. I don't care if I buy anything, but I have to be really careful about that, you know, because it's still just another thing I will use to escape.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you know, I've seen myself, you know, kind of go down this path, and you really do have to just stay conscious of it and be able to take a step back. And it's like, okay, I need to make a change. And so, you know, I make sure if I do have kind of these compulsive behaviors, that it's something that is extremely healthy.
Yeah.
So, you know, for instance, earlier this year, I started intermittent fasting.
I do that too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was great. More energy. I mean, you know, I was getting more than enough, you know, calories into my body and everything. And, you know, I was working out with it and it was, you know, going great. Well, I started my, you know, new job and I really didn't have much time to, you know, work out and things like that. And I dropped all of the muscle I had gained and everything and just got super skinny. And so I'm like, okay, that's something I have to stop now, otherwise, because it's unhealthy for me.
Right, right.
And yeah, just being conscious of that is huge. But yeah.
I wish I could get the exercise addiction to stick for me. That's the one that I don't seem to have.
It's tough. I mean, I don't know if it's really stuck with me either. I force myself to go. I mean, especially with the hours that I have to work, I have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to go to the gym on the days that I go to the gym. And I'm not a morning person at all. People are like, you know, at work are like, oh, you're so crazy. You're such a morning person. I can never do that. I'm like, I'm not a morning person either. I just need to work out. And I'm literally forcing myself to wake up.
It's prioritizing. Like, I don't go to the gym. I don't go to the gym so much for how I look, right? Like, that's not my thing, especially at my age. Like, you start to let go of some of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to look a certain way or weigh a certain thing. I'm okay with that. But I go to the gym for my mental health.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I have anxiety that at times can be debilitating. And I have about 100 things going on in my professional life. Like, I need my energy. I need to feel good. I need to be able to get everything done that I want to get done with a great attitude and not be freaking out.
Right.
And if I don't address my anxiety directly, it will win. I promise
me
you.
Me too.
So yeah, for me, that working out and that exercise is imperative for my mental health. It just keeps me in a good place.
Same here. And if I take even a few days off, that's when my anxiety is through the roof and I can almost feel an anxiety attack coming upon, and it's awful. But when I'm consistently working out and when I'm eating healthy, things like that, it is really not anywhere close to as existent as it is. And so, you know,
it makes such a difference.
Yeah. Our bodies, I mean, they're a machine, and we have to treat it right. We have to put the right oil in, and, you know,
it's
we have
so
to work
true.
It the right way.
And our brains too. Like, I'm obsessed with the brain and the neuro parts of addiction and healing, really, and just personal development in general, because obviously there's a certain place in sobriety that it becomes less about not drinking and using, right? It's what is the saying? I say it all the time now. It just resonates with me in such a big way. The point is not to not drink. The point is to love myself so much I don't want to drink.
Yes,
and
I love that.
That's what it's about, right? Like, that's the recovery piece. Sober is one thing, quit drinking. But the recovery is a whole other thing. And constantly working on myself and supporting my brain and doing what I need to do so that my brain will support me is really important. And knowing what that stuff is and what are those important pieces for me and what are the things that I can skip every once in a while and be okay and what are the things that I really need to do every day, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I completely feel the same way. I mean, it's a lot of trial and error, I'd say, I've had to go through over these past almost 6 years now, and I'm still doing it. It's like, all right, well, let's try this, see if this helps me, you know, live my life and be productive and, of course, be happy and be able to have fun and enjoy life, get the most out of life, you know, and all of that on top of, you know, of course, being sober.
Right.
If I'm miserable, if I'm not happy and not healthy and, you know, things are just not going well, I mean, that is putting my life at risk at that point.
For sure.
My recovery at risk. So, yeah, I need to keep the machine well oiled and, you know.
I wonder sometimes, too, if that's why we are a little more dedicated to continuing that personal development, right? Because what's at risk for me is much higher. You know what
right.
I mean? Like a non-addicted person doesn't have the consequences that I have if I drink or if I don't take care of myself or if I go back to drinking, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's one of the things that I love about 12-step programs too, is I feel like it is a room full of people who have a level of dedication unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Right.
And that also is empowering to me. You know, I love being around those people who are really doing it and working it. And it's not about doing it well or doing it perfectly or never making a mistake or whatever, because nobody does that. It's not even possible. But to continue to get up every day and make the choice to continue that journey and try again and try harder. Like, I mean, I just love being around all those people.
Yeah, I know. The energy just it flows. And I think that was a huge part, too, is just being around that kind of energy. And,
yeah.
And that just, you know, inspired me to keep on that journey and keep building from there.
Yeah. So. Has there ever been a time you felt like your sobriety was at risk? Like, have you ever had a time that you thought about drinking again?
I mean, not really, because I think just done so much damage due to it that I was like, okay, it's either life or death. And I have to always treat it that seriously.
Right.
If I take a sip, if I make the decision to go to the bar, I'm, you know, just putting the nail in the coffin right there. And, you know, I take that so seriously that really it just doesn't cross my mind no matter what I'm going through. And like I've had so many ups and downs emotionally and you know, in every which financially, every which way in life. But it just does not cross my mind, because that would literally be putting the nail in the coffin for me. And I don't want to end my life. I want to see, you know, where I can take myself and what I can overcome. You know, I'm not giving myself a chance.
Especially now it's so good.
Right.
Like, I really want to see this thing through.
Exactly.
That wasn't the case when I was drunk and depressed. But now that's totally the case. What would you say is your toughest time in sobriety? Hardest thing that you've been through in sobriety, and how did you get through it and not drink?
You know, some of the toughest times really have been financial issues. I mean, I've been, you know, in and out of jobs, and I've, you know, started kind of branches of business and things like that, and trying to learn the whole being an entrepreneur and starting a business and failing multiple times.
Oh, you know, you're getting closer to the one that's going to work.
Right? Exactly. And that's what I always have to keep in mind. But, you know, the failures and everything, those don't really bother me at all. It's the financial issues and pressure. Like, you know, not being able to sleep at night and worrying about, you know, paying bills, that's pretty awful. And I mean, it's such a huge drawn out issue in this country alone. I mean, this world alone. You know, it's just one of the worst feelings is not being able to provide for yourself or loved ones, or, you know, it's just, I think those have been the biggest issues. And
entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. Ugh. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And it's not, listen, I say this to people all the time, and I don't know why I am the way that I am. You know, I'm just kind of a little vigilante-ish in every aspect of my life. You know, I'm a maverick for sure. I always have my brain just thinks in a different way. What everybody else seems to think makes sense never makes sense to me. Like I just have my own thing going on. But if you want stability and regularity in pay, and you want benefits and paid vacation, entrepreneurship is not the right way.
Right.
You know, like it takes a long time to get to a place that you have that kind of stability in your own company and things like that. But it's hard. And I would say part of my financial struggles also were really in my immaturity, right? Because I never grew up in that way either. I was a bartender my whole adult life. I made a lot of money. And I never had to be responsible. I never had to budget. Right. I never had to think about money. I mean, I was the person that I would make a stack of cash one night and buy a Louis Vuitton purse the next day and spend every dime and be like, oh, no big deal. I'll make it back tonight. You know what? I was so irresponsible. And as I continued to grow and evolve and my life continued to grow and evolve, and obviously eventually I stepped away from bartending and had to really be on my own, I had the same struggles because I was so immature and irresponsible. Like it was hard, up and down all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of what I've experienced. And it is, you know, it is immaturity or just not reaching, I guess, the amount of education. But the way that you gain that education is the hard way.
That's right.
And that's the best teacher there ever was, I think, is the tough love and, you know, the hard truth and learning that the hard way. And, you know, so every time I am going through one of those tough moments, you know, over these past 6 years, you know, I have to keep in mind, okay, this really sucks, but what can I learn from it?
Right.
What value can I gain from this moment? What changes can I make to make sure this never happens again?
Yeah.
I mean, that right there is by far the best teacher for me. And it's completely shaped my life and, you know, led to where I'm at now. And so it's embracing the struggle, really.
For sure. Because really, too, I think I try not to get into kind of labeling things as good or bad, right? Because some, just like we said a little while ago, some of the worst things that ever happened to me were the best things that ever happened to me, right? In my sobriety, for sure. Or what caused me to get sober. My rock bottom was really freaking scary. And I could consider that a really horrible thing that happened to me. But it was one of the greatest moments of my life, you know, truly, because it shifted my direction and it led me to my real life and to my passion and all that stuff. But I think that even in all those failures, I just look at it as just like I said to you, whenever something doesn't work, I'm like, ooh, all right, cool. So we got one more out of the way. We're definitely getting closer. We're definitely getting closer to the next one that is going to work.
Exactly.
And I think it is learning those lessons, but also really digging into that inner strength, right? So in my business, I mean, it's hard. And you and I were talking about this a lot before we started recording. Entrepreneurship is a lonely world. You know, like everything I do, I'm by myself and I don't get a ton of feedback to know what's going on, how it's working, whatever. I always feel like I'm not doing a good enough job because I'm always at least five things behind. You know, like it's just this weird, underworld that you're a part of, you know, when you live that life. I would not have it any other way.
Right.
You know, like I'm much more feral than I am domesticated.
Right.
I could not work for a person. I do not do well with a boss. Like, could you imagine being the person that has to tell me what to do? Like that poor soul.
Oh, I know. And
it's just not my thing, you know, it's not. But I think that so many of the things that have fueled me in business are the exact same things that fueled me in sobriety.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't be able to do it in business had I not done it in sobriety and learned that I was capable and that I can figure it out. You know what I mean? And getting guidance, that's been a huge thing for me in business too. So like you get sober, you go to AA and they tell you get a sponsor. You have this coach person that tells you how to live and helps you change your perspective. But in business, I didn't have that for a long time, you know, and I was behind because I didn't have guidance.
Right.
And that's been a huge part for me too.
Oh, that I think right there has been the biggest struggle for me is the guidance piece. And I think that's what, you know, drew me into getting the job I have now, which what's really neat about it is you know, being a logistics broker, I'm basically my own boss. I'm building my own business, which is great. And I don't have, you know, anybody micromanaging, but everything is guided and it's structured. And I love that. But at the same time, you know, I am that feral person also, which I just cannot stand having a boss. I mean, you know, I've had a few jobs so far in the past 6 years, and each one, it makes me want to crawl out of my skin.
Yeah.
I cannot have that. But I do need someone to be able to talk to about, you know,
sure,
what I'm doing. Otherwise, then I kind of lose my, you know, vision in a way, or, you know, don't have things pinpointed to where I need to succeed. And so
buried in it, you can't. It's like you need somebody that has the 30,000 foot view down that can say, okay, go this way, right, and go this way and go that way. Whereas when you can't see the forest for the trees, right? When you're in the middle of it, like I can't see the five steps ahead because I'm in the middle of it. I need the person that can see the five steps ahead.
Right.
Just like we had that in sobriety. You know, that's what my sponsor was. My sponsor was the person that could see five steps ahead and knew how it was going to turn out, knew if I did X, Y, and Z, this was going to be the result. Like you have to have that in business too.
Oh, absolutely. I love the analogies you just said, and really just how I did have kind of a more of a business coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was maybe 2 years after I got sober, and he handed me a book called Think and Grow Rich.
Absolutely.
That was the first.
A classic entrepreneur book.
Oh, absolutely. It was the first business. It was the first personal development book I had ever read. You know, I hated reading before then. I liked, you know, researching online and things like that, but I could not stand, you know, reading, and especially, you know, personal development. I thought like, what is this guy trying to sell me? And but I opened it and I decided that I was going to take it seriously. And I started practicing some of, you know, the principles that they were teaching in there. And I was like, you know, this is crazy. This book is so similar to the Big Book. And the 12 steps are so similar to the principles to succeed in business.
Oh, I'm so happy you're saying all of this right now.
It's amazing how much those things tie in.
Yeah.
And then if you look at like athletics, the principles to succeed at athletics are the same exact principles to succeed in sobriety and in business.
That's something I talk about so much, because one of my big things is kind of breaking down the weirdness around AA too, right? Like I get anonymity. I would never break somebody else's anonymity. I have so much respect for that. You know what I mean? I just don't have an anonymous moment in my life, right? And I don't want one, but I get that. But at the same time, having that anonymity and kind of being secretive about it creates its own sort of mysticism that makes people not want to be a part of it. So I love normalizing the program. There's nothing weird. We didn't reinvent the wheel, I promise you. There's nothing happening in AA that hasn't been happening for thousands of years.
Exactly.
You know, like if you read books from ancient Rome, the earliest philosophers, it's the exact same things we do in AA. There's just nothing magical about it.
The thing is, it's, you know, and someone put it to me, actually, it was one of my business coaches, I think, who said, the principles of success are universal. That quote right there will always stick with me because it's so true. The principles to succeed at anything are exactly the same.
That's
they will not ever change, ever. And it doesn't matter what, you know, it is that you're trying to succeed at. Just like we mentioned, you know, it can be sobriety, it can be athletics, it can be business. It's all exactly the same. It won't change. And so really what I'm doing, you know, without going to AA is really not that much different. You know, there's just a few things here and there, but our principles are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And that's why we're succeeding.
I always think too, is it's not like, again, anything, business, sobriety, whatever. I don't think of things as like a to-do list or things I have to do. What I think about is what type of person do I have to be to get those things done, right? So I don't want to just check off my to-do list. What I want to do is check in with myself in the morning. I'm like having a whole coaching session right now.
I love it. This
is great. I check in with myself in the morning and I check in with who I want to be for that day, right? What are the things that are so important to me, and in strength and tenacity and hustle and grit and all of that stuff, but also, you know, being kind, being respectful. To me, being dependable is hugely important, which means when my phone rings, I answer it, or I return every phone call in a certain time frame. Like those, that's who I have to be. I have to feed my brain properly. I have to starve my anxiety properly.
Right.
I have to neutralize that anxiety. Like that's who I have to be. And as long as I'm staying focused on being that person, I can get done whatever I need to get done.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's organization. And I love it. And I love the coaching session right there, because seriously, I'm taking notes. It's amazing because, you know, a lot of that I do, you know, as soon as I wake up, it's like, all right, what are these things that I have to get done? And I compartmentalize some of those things. But what's amazing about coaching, and really what you just said, is it's totally reinforcing that and reminding me to actually think about doing that instead of just getting in the habit and doing that naturally.
Yeah.
And when I'm able to, you know, kind of hear those things, you know, that you or, you know, the other people that have coached me have said, you know, I'm already doing it okay, but now like it's right in my face. It's like, okay, I need to be conscious
of doing it
so
I
don't lose myself by just, you know, becoming complacent,
yeah,
and doing the same thing over again. That's when it's so easy to unravel.
I have a lot of my clients do what I call a mind map, right? And just taking a sheet of paper, and however you want to do it, you can list it just down, you know, a sheet of notebook paper or however you want to do it. But I tell them to make a list of all of the things they want to be. Like, so my personality, who do I want to be in my character? And when I first did this many years ago, I thought of like my favorite people, of course, my mom and Oprah. Okay, those are my two. Henry, of course, but my mom and Oprah are my people. So I would think of them and I was like, okay, what are the things about these two women that I think are so fantastic? Like, what is phenomenal about these women? And I thought of all those qualities, and that's what I was writing down, right? And it's a lot of what I just said. Like, I want to be courageous. I want to be brave. I want to be content. I want to be kind. I want to be honest. I want to be sober. Like, all of these things of who I want to be as a human being, and create that map, right? And I have mine that hangs on my vision board in my room, because then I can check my behaviors and make sure my behaviors are in line with my map. You know, so when I'm getting ready to lose my temper or something, I'll go, is that how Oprah would handle that?
Right. There you go.
Probably not, you know. But yeah, so I can just check my behaviors. And like if there's a phone call I don't want to make, I immediately think of that in my mind map and I go, well, that's not very brave. You know, yeah. Like you really want to be brave. So this is the stuff you have to do. But it is. It's just a cool visual that keeps me on track to becoming who I want to be and to making sure that I'm taking the action every day that matches my vision, because that's how you get there.
Exactly.
You got to take the action.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that you said that. And, you know, with my new position where I'm, you know, I am surrounded by these very successful people and these successful young people too, which is, you know, I think even more motivating. But, you know, occasionally when I've got, you know, this big scary call with this, you know, multi-billion dollar company that I'm trying to pitch and be able to move their freight, my natural self, you know, kind of wants to hide away and not make that call. But I have to be like, all right, what would so-and-so do?
Right.
They would just get right on the phone.
Just get on.
And they would
yeah.
do it. And it's almost, you know, that 5-second rule or something like that, 3-second rule, where you just have to go and do it before you second guess yourself.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of when I was presented with an intervention. When I first got sober, I walked into an intervention. I had no clue what I was walking into. As the door opened, I see my mom sitting there and a couple other people sitting in like a circle. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I know exactly what this is. And for some reason or another, for the first time in, you know, 25 years of my life at that time, I decided to not overthink it. I just decided in my mind, okay, let's do it. And let's not think about it. Let's not, you know, try to give it a second chance to make that decision. Let's make that decision now. And so a lot of times I remind myself of that being spontaneous and brave and courageous. That really shows me that I can keep doing that throughout my life. And so the next thing that comes up that's really scary, it's like, okay, I've done this before. Let's just do it. It gets
easier. It's practice.
Just take that step. Yeah, exactly.
I did an episode, I don't remember, episode 30-something, 36 or 37, about my favorite mantras and things that I use on a daily basis, right, to be braver and all that stuff. And one of them was from the movie We Bought a Zoo with Matt Damon. Have you seen that?
I don't think I watched that one.
It's actually really cute. He tells a story in the episode. He's telling his kids, the kid's mom has passed away, and he's telling them the story of when he first met their mom and asked her out on the first date, and he's just talking about how nervous he was and whatever. And he said to himself, it's 20 seconds of courage. It takes 20 seconds of courage, and that's one of mine. Every single day in those moments, things that are intimidating or awkward or whatever, it's like 20 seconds of courage, Angela, just 20 seconds. Right. You can do 20 seconds. It's not that bad. You know, just dial the phone and let him answer or whatever it is. But it's like 20 seconds for me is attainable. If I think about making the call and the pitch and doing it well and closing the sale, if I try to think of all those things, forget it. Like, I need you 20 seconds. I just need you to answer the phone. And then I'll worry about the next thing.
I love that. And, you know, that quote alone, or I think it was 10 seconds of courage that I was hearing from one of my coaches said.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were teaching me how to be confident and to meet people that I was terrified of meeting. So people in business suits, you know, that scared the crap out of me, you know, especially early on in my sobriety, you know, because I wanted to network and, you know, my goals were way above where I was.
Right.
And I knew that.
As they should be.
Right. A step to get there was going to be to talk with these people who have already reached that goal or reached that level. And so whether I, you know, would go to a big event where there would be all these successful people, it was that 10 seconds of courage of that's all it takes to stick out your hand and say, that's hey, right. My name is Austin. What do you do? kind of thing. And by doing that and being able to spark these conversations led to, you know, so much more than just gaining information, but friendships, you know, with these people that I'm just, you know, truly amazed by and that I can get this incredible insight and guidance and information from just from
that's that so 10 motivating too though. Like I feel I always want to be surrounded by people that have accomplished far more than me at this stage.
Right? That's never so be the good. Smartest person in the room.
It's so good. It motivates me. So mine used to be when I first joined the professional world, right? And came out of bartending. You know, bartending is this very underground world. And I was an underground, off the grid person for a long time. And, you know, your schedule is totally opposite the rest of the world. And it's just weird. But when I first joined the professional world and I started going to conferences, and I would go to these conferences, addiction recovery conferences, where there'd be, you know, 900, 1100 people. And it was all these people with PhDs and PsyDs, like all this education, which I was enamored with. But at that time, like I didn't come from a family where everybody went to college or anything like that. I never thought I would go to college. It honestly never even crossed my mind until I was 37. The first time I ever thought about going to college, I literally was enrolled like a week later. Wow. Like it happened that fast. I just never thought I could or would, you know? And so that was my big intimidating thing, was sitting at these dinners with people with all this education. But what I realized is those people really didn't know any more than I knew. I just learned it in a different way, you know? But really, like we were reading all the same stuff. We were getting all of our material from the same online resources and the same magazines and the same speakers. So I caught myself sitting at these dinners with these crazy educated people that I was so enamored with, and they'd be talking and I'd be like, well, I knew that. I already knew that. And it just kind of said, I was like, now, wait a minute. These people don't know anything more than I know. You know, like, it's not like they hold the key to all the information and I can't have it. But that's kind of how I'd built it up in my head, you know. But yeah, it was good. And then I was just like, yeah, there's no, these people don't know any more than me. I can do this. I can sit at these tables. I belong.
Yeah.
You know, this is my frame of knowledge too.
And I think, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, especially going into college and really not doing well in college because of my drinking and, you know, even high school, you know, I just wanted to blame it on, you know, I just, you know, I can't learn like other people. I can't learn as fast. I can't retain as much, you know, information in my head. And, you know, just really talked myself down for so many years thinking that I was just dumber than other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is, like, we're all able to retain, you know, the same amount of information in our brains. It's something like millions of years worth of information in our brains. We're always learning. It's just, let's figure out how you learn, you know, best. And you can learn the same exact information that Bill Gates has, you know. You can know the exact same things that Bill Gates does. You know, one, because the internet's there, and you can literally learn anything and everything.
Thank God for Google.
I don't know how people survived before then, but luckily there were libraries.
We had encyclopedias.
Yes. Oh, that's tough. But, I forget, you know, about my early childhood and not having internet and all that just because we're so spoiled with it now.
Yeah.
And it truly is amazing. You can become an expert in anything that you want, anything and everything, you know, just from Googling on the internet. And it's all amazing. Of a sudden you're an expert. And so it just shows me how capable I am, you know, even when I experience doubts now, you know, about where I'm at or where I'm going, it's like, you know, that is just the biggest BS excuse. I can literally do anything I want. I just have to, you know, figure out what that thing I want is.
Right.
And I have to be willing to put in the time to learn it and master it.
And that's really, that's the thing that really separates people, right? There's doers and there's talkers. And that's what really separates, because it isn't that anybody knows any more than the other person. We can all know the same stuff. You know, I didn't come from a privileged background, or I didn't come from a super successful millionaire family, right? Like, I have just crawled my way up. The difference is nobody will out-hustle me.
Right.
Nobody will work harder than me. Nobody will read more than me or learn more than me. Like, I'm at the top of my game and I'm willing to do it. You know, and if I want something, no one will stand in my way. I don't care what the excuse is. I don't care if it's hard or if it's harder for me than it would be for somebody else. I don't care. I'm doing it.
Right.
that's the difference.
And you can almost get addicted to that too. And you know, that's almost why I love what I do right now, and is because I get to really push myself at this, and I get to be the earliest first person in the office. I get to be the last person to leave, you know.
Yes.
I get to wake up at, you know, 4 a.m., 4 something a.m. and decide to, you know, go to the gym or just get my day started then. You know,
that's the best time to be up. People think I'm crazy because I get up that early. But I'll tell you, honestly, it's the most peaceful time for me because nobody else is up. Right. It's very quiet. My phones aren't ringing like crazy. I don't have 100 emails coming in an hour. Like, it is the time that I can just be with my brain and my creativity and be in gratitude and focused on my thoughts and setting my day up right. And yeah, that's the best time of the day.
And the rest of the world's asleep.
And the rest of the world's asleep.
Your competition is asleep at that time. And that's what I love too about waking up early. Everybody else is asleep.
Yeah.
And I'm up.
Yeah.
And that pushes me and it empowers me and it gives me energy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I absolutely love waking up early. Although I'm not a morning person. It's so weird.
I get up now earlier than when I used to get home from work.
Wow.
As a bartender. Yeah.
That's insane.
It's insane.
That's crazy.
And that really wasn't that long ago, because I bartended for a long time into my sobriety even.
Wow.
So yeah, it wasn't that long ago. But again, like all this stuff that we're talking about, like I wouldn't have that ability or that mindset to do any of that had I not gotten sober and been a part of recovery and worked steps and done all those things, right? I would have never known I was capable.
Right. Yeah. It's just reminding ourselves that we're capable of anything. If we're able to overcome our addictions, admit our problems,
right.
You know, solve a lot of the issues that were going on in our lives, that were causing those problems. If we're capable of doing that, we're capable of anything. You know, really, I mean, I've seen so many
people. If you can
think
it, you can do it.
Exactly.
You just have to have the tenacity to keep doing it even when it's hard.
Exactly. And what's amazing is a conversation such as, you know, the one that we're having. You know, or the even people listening on your show right now, you know, it can spark something so incredible. And, you know, I mean, listening to podcasts and audios and things like that, and just having, you know, simple conversations with people, you know, even if we're both kind of just the wishers at that moment, it can somehow, you know, spark something just incredible. And it's like, okay, this is it. This is where it. I start tomorrow morning. I'm waking up at 4:30 a.m.
Right, right.
And I'm going to get used to
it. Yeah, because I had to make that decision one day too.
Oh, yeah. It was a tough decision.
And there's some days it's hard. Some days I don't want to.
Right.
But I want to because that's who I want to be.
Yeah.
It's not because of what I have to get done. That's who I want to be.
Right. It's looking into the future. And I think, you know, that is one of my favorite things too, is really being able to not necessarily see clearly into the future, but have an idea of what I want and, you know, embracing that and making the changes now. I think.
Yeah, knowing that I can curate the future that I want. Like, right. I have a hand in that. Like, everything for me used to be so out of control when I was drinking. Like, I didn't have the wherewithal. I couldn't follow through on anything. I couldn't plan anything. I didn't know anything. I had no confidence. You know, like, now I get to actively participate in creating the life that I want.
Right.
And I can make it look however I want, you know?
Delayed gratification. I don't know if you've read the book, The Slight Edge, but.
No, but I will now.
It was such a good book for me to read, I think, especially early on in my sobriety, because it's you know, kind of business oriented, but it's all about delayed gratification. And, you know, me as, you know, an addict, I had the mindset of just instant gratification.
Of course,
I wanted
yes.
it now.
Yes.
And if I couldn't have it now, what's the point of, you know, going for it? And the book just, I think, portrayed really well.
It's one of the greatest keys to success, they say, is the ability to delay gratification.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think the examples he gives are really good. And that just changed my entire mindset. It's like, okay, you know, if you take one step every day, that's 365 steps in that year. And that's a long way away.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll be amazed at how far you can actually go in a year.
Yeah.
You know, push yourself, hustle for a year and see what happens, see where you're at. And you'll surprise yourself and then be your own
proof. Always. You'll always surprise yourself.
I love it.
It's amazing what we're capable of. Okay, last question, favorite question. What's your favorite thing about being a sober person?
Ooh, probably not feeling regretful, but also just feeling healthy. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm able to actually notice small differences in my body and my mind. You know, like if I eat something healthy compared to something bad, like I can notice that difference. And I think the only way that's possible is my sobriety.
Yeah.
Everything else, you know, is just wishy-washy and cloudy and everything. And
right.
So, you know, what I ate didn't really make that big of a difference.
I definitely didn't have that awareness.
Right. And it's just amazing
awareness then.
Being able to be so sensitive, I think,
yeah.
to what's actually good for you and what's not.
Mindful.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's mindfulness.
And going to the gym and just like feeling energetic and good and happy. You know, you can feel that natural dopamine going into mm-hmm. your brain and making you smile and just feel good about living. I mean, that to me is just incredible, the sensitivity to that in my sobriety.
And yeah.
being able to control my happiness.
Yeah. I love that.
There's a lot of things on that.
Yeah,
question.
Right. I know. It's all good. Thank you so much for doing this with me. This has been awesome. It has been several months in the making for us to finally
yes,
get to sit down
I
and
know.
Record.
Last time you were in town, I couldn't do it. I felt horrible about
I know.
It. But
I was so bummed, but it worked out perfectly this time. So I'm glad you were able to make it fit in your schedule. And for you guys, listeners, you can find Austin on Insta at Sober Evolution, and all his other contact information we will put in the show notes. That is it for us. Sayonara. We'll see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. Candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.